Why do people enjoy riddles? Welcome back to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author, as we proceed through a 13-week study of the Gospel of Mark in the Bible. And we're on our fourth week, and we're looking at the topic of parables. I'm grateful to have with me as conversation partners Dr. Phil Mothersbaugh, a retired pastor and adjunct professor for us here at Walla Walla University, and Dr. Alden Thompson, emeritus professor, still writing, still speaking, still ministering here locally as well. Gentlemen, why do people seem to enjoy riddles so much? What is it about a riddle that captures people's attention?
That's a very good question. Do we enjoy riddles because we can see to whom they're directed, or do we actually enjoy the mystery ourselves? I don't have a good answer for that.
I think one of the things that I enjoy about riddles is the question. It gets me thinking. It's a challenge. Can you figure this out? We have stories in the Old Testament of riddles, Samson using one. Jesus, in a way, was providing riddles to the crowd, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees. But it engages the mind. It captures your attention. Somebody asks you a question, it's almost instantaneous that you're going to think about it.
Mm. You know, this summer I was on a Bibleland study tour in a bus for hours, cruising around Egypt and Turkey and Israel and Jordan. And in each place, students would gather on the bus, talking across the aisles, and they would share riddles with one another. And students would think, and they would ask questions. And when the look on their faces, when they got the right answer, oh, I figured it out. It's like all of a sudden it was like an epiphany. Oh, I figured it out. Oh, that was clever. That was tricky. But my mind was adequate to come up with a solution, right? And I think each time that happens, and each time someone else got that look on their face, I think we all got a little dopamine hit. We all just said, oh, that's great. You did it too. Welcome to the club. Now you know this inside knowledge, right? This secret that 5 minutes ago you didn't know. We spent hours doing riddles. Jesus, parables, in some ways are like riddles, right? They take things that people know, everyday life, and it tells a truth behind what we might think of as an everyday story. So in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we have a number of parables that are similar and some different to Matthew 13, where we have a collection of them in Matthew's Gospel. Often the parables begin with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so Jesus uses something we understand to explain something we don't understand as well. It's like kind of an extended simile, right? So the first parable, and maybe the largest in the Gospels, is the parable of the sower. Jesus speaks about a sower, a person who sows seed. We use tractors today, combines, but back then they did it by hand. A sower would carry a bag of seed, and he would go out and scatter the seed all over. Maybe the ground had been tended and already turned over a bit. Maybe it hadn't. But wherever the seed fell, it had a chance to grow. It fell on different types of soil. It falls on the path. It falls on rocky soil. It falls among weeds. And then it falls among good soil, right? Ready to bear a harvest. And Jesus speaks about these soils. And you might think at first glance, well, Jesus is just a good horticulturalist, right? He's just teaching people how to plant seed. But they already knew this. So later, when the disciples are alone with Jesus, they come to him and they say, Jesus, what did you mean by that story? Like, surely you had a meaning that goes beyond just telling us how to plant seed. Like, we already know how to do that. And Jesus begins to explain the story. And he says, look, the sower is the Son of Man, and the seed is the Word. And when it's sown, it has a chance of bearing a harvest. How do we think about the soils? What does this mean? The path, the rocky soil, the weeds, and the good soil. What is Jesus actually trying to tell us here?
Well, it's the diversity of human response, and I don't know that the Calvinists have it right. You just take a normal cross-section of people, and they will respond differently.
I've asked that question in our study guide, and for those of you listening in, if you have found our website, hopefully you found the study guide as well. Are our Calvinist-leaning friends correct when they argue that different heart types are chosen and fixed by God, that my reception to the gospel has already been determined, or can I change if my soil, my heart, is the soil that receives the word? Do I have the ability to change that, or has it already been fixed? Does this parable offer us any clues?
I don't think it does. It sounds Calvinist from the beginning. But the interesting thing about Scripture, if you read it even superficially, there are some parts that sound Calvinist, and there are some parts that sound free will. And I think we have to be very careful about imposing one or the other, because there are people who are just made differently. I remember a camp meeting that I let out. It was was out in the middle of the Utah Spring Valley campground. I was doing a series on Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is full of conditional prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the second day of lectures, I said, now, let's start out with this question. In some sense, God knows the future. And there was a guy sitting in the back of the tent and said, what do you mean in some sense? God knows the future.
With certainty.
With certainty. And so I pointed out a couple of things from Scripture. He says, I don't care what the Bible says. God knows the future. So he was locked in. And later on, I was doing another camp meeting series in California, at the Soquel campground. And I used that as an illustration. And this guy came up with a grin on his face as big as life. And he says, you remembered. But this guy wasn't going to let Scripture turn him around. He knew.
He already had a view.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure you got it right.
Yeah.
I think the parable itself, and again, it's just observation, which I think is really important in Bible study.
Yep.
Notice how Jesus ends the parable. He says, let anyone with ears to hear listen. And that's the end. It's like, I just told you what happens to seed when it falls on different kinds of soil. And the disciples come to him afterwards and they go, what were you talking about? what was that about? Can you explain that to us? And so Mark says, again, relying on Peter, who was, I'm sure, one of the ones who was scratching his head going, well, I'm a fisherman. I don't quite understand the illustration here.
Yeah.
He explains the different soils. And I would certainly agree that our Calvinist friends certainly may lean on this for an interpretation of election. But I'm not sure that that's exactly what Jesus was getting at based on his explanation.
Mm-hmm. There is a chance that the good soil can bear fruit. And when it says that, you know, good soil brings forth grain, and one kernel of grain can bring forth 30 more or 60 more or 100 more. If I told you, gentlemen, that, hey, if you give me $100, I will give you in 6 months 30 times that amount or 60 times or 100 times, you'd say, well, that's okay, that's too good to be true. I don't trust you, right? Probably. But if true, that's a wonderful deal. Like, that's a great, great harvest. That's a great multiplication. Phil, you have your Bible in front of you. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to read verses 10 through 12. So this is a challenge. Jesus explains why he uses parables. Would you read those verses for us?
Sure. Verse 10 begins, when he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version.
Uh-huh.
But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may look but not perceive, that they may listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven.
This passage is Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, right? Jesus goes back to Isaiah 6. At first blush, this looks problematic. Jesus says, I speak to you in parables so that those on the inside get it and those on the outside don't. Almost as if Jesus has planned that some will not understand. It's almost what it seems like. Is there another way to look at this? Is it possible that Jesus is asking for something from his disciples to initiate conversation? Is there more to it? What am I missing here?
It's a riddle.
For sure. I think you make a valid point, Brant. He is trying to engage them to think deeper than what he's just talking about. And his method of teaching was extremely engaging because he used parables. That was common in that day for teachers to, you know, use a parable to try to make a point. What Jesus did often with parables was he flipped them inside out. What the listeners thought was obvious was not what he was getting at. And he was trying to find out, are you listening for what I'm not saying or what I intend? Or are you just listening to a story and letting it go at that?
And
he was saying so much more.
Right. Is it possible that the use of parables was also a protective method for Jesus' message? Do you think it protected him from accusations? So if you're preaching a message that seems countercultural and you're speaking in riddles, is there a value to that?
Well, certainly it limits the evidence.
Say more.
You know, well, I mean, if you're telling a story and you're not pointing fingers specifically at people, you can't be accused of character assassination. But what Jesus was doing was telling a story and inviting his listeners, look really deep at this and think about what this might possibly mean beyond its obvious intent.
Mm. We find near the end of Jesus' ministry, he gives a parable about a vineyard, and it says the Pharisees knew he was speaking about them, but he simply told a story. Right? He told a story, and they could not say, hey, he was telling it about us. Here's the proof I have.
No, they started to get it after a while. They began to realize that Jesus was implying certain things. But I think the key to understanding this particular parable comes when Jesus opens it up for his disciples and those who were listening. You can read in the description about how he's talking about the human condition and the human experience, mm-hmm. and the different soils represent humanity in its various forms. And there's no escaping that this is not a lesson in agriculture. This is a lesson about cultivating the human heart.
This is a spiritual lesson. Absolutely. Well, there's more parables to read in Mark 4, and we'll look at more later on. I want to say thank you again, Phil and Alden, for your help. Thank you to Kristen Byerly and Rick Basket for being sound engineers for us. Thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.